With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, a podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. I'm joined, as always, by the official second banana of the show. It's the host of the gaming show about games. It's Evan Munro Smith.
Thanks for having me. Oh, applause. It's called Gamey Game. It's on YouTube, and you're on it, Matt, this week.
Yes. I was confused as to why you were calling it something different.
Wait, so you do two shows?
No, they're the same show. Matt's just
is gaming game been gaming game on break at the moment? Mm.
That's Evan's gammy chicken related.
I think I was looking for Twitter handles and stuff like that when we started the show, and I think that's it's worked against me because of the
gammy chicken.
Gammy chicken. I think there's that's something.
Yeah. I thought it was a show about backgammon.
Oh, gammon,
backgammon.
Well, if there was a backgammon video game, then it could be a show about
blackgammon.
Well, I don't know. I've never played that. I don't know what that is.
Well, it doesn't exist. Backgammon.
Oh, backgammon. Okay. I've got no idea what that is.
Gammon's a type of pork, I think.
Right.
It's like mutton, but for pork. So old.
Old pigs.
Old pigs.
Hey, old
so
pigs can be meat too.
That's
backgammon's that briefcase game. It's sick. You got a briefcase, you got a game. It's a brief. It normally comes in a briefcase. It opens up and it's a board, and you've got these nice shiny sort of
tokens, and you move them from the one spike to a different coloured spike.
Yeah, you got to make your way around the briefcase.
Anyway,
imagine you were a little disc, right? And you lived in a briefcase, but you had to get to the other side of the briefcase. Well, you're living backgammon.
Yeah, okay. It's basically an RPG, which is what you'd be interested in on backgammon.
Anyway, it's good to have you in again, Evan. And
thank you.
Joining us back in the Monkey House for the first time in a little while, it's artist and designer of this show's logo.
Lugu.
Lugu. Which is what you call it, right? Peter Thomas.
Lugu.
Lugu.
Hey.
Thank you for having me back in the Monkey House. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Hey, it's been a while.
It has been a little while.
But you're kind of like our Marvel comic book ape expert.
In previous
episodes, you've talked about Hitmonkey and also the alternative universe Marvel apes.
Yes, and starring the Gibbon?
The Gibbon, yeah.
Yeah, so very famous Marvel superheroes.
The Gibbon,
ones you would have been seen. Yeah, they were in...
It was the Gibbon. It also had Ape Captain America.
That's right.
Spider Monkey.
The Iron Mandrill.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Some of them they worked on puns, and other ones they just went ape version of this guy, and that was fun. I remember that.
Does sound fun.
It was very fun. Evan wasn't here.
No.
It was in his pre-banana days.
How do you feel about people talking about the time that you weren't part of the podcast?
Well, I mean, I was part of the, I was on a couple of times as a guest, but it's fine. I think it's okay.
It's a bit like people talking about previous relationships.
Right.
And how good they were and how fun they were.
Yeah.
But they didn't happen when you were here.
No, well, I mean, no one's talked about it like that.
No, okay. Well,
not yet.
Well, I think that's what we were trying to talk about it like. But
just haven't been listening hard enough.
Yeah, it didn't come across, obviously. Now, Peter, you probably already know this because you're quite a good friend of Evan's, but his favourite primate is the human, in particular Andy from Toy Story. did you have any suggestions of another primate that might be so fantastic that it is even better?
Even better than Andy. So one of the things about Andy, which is a big drawback as far as I can tell, is you can't go and meet Andy.
Yes.
Andy is very inaccessible.
Yep. Yeah, he's fictional.
Yeah.
And computer generated.
Although the...
Yeah,
the...
twice over inaccessible.
What do you... Oh, right.
Like you can't get to him because he's a fictional character and he's computer generated.
Yep. Yeah.
Although Evan does spend a lot of time inside a computer, so...
Okay, so then it's just one level. Inaccessibility. Yeah.
His voice actor is doing talks, so you could meet his voice.
That's his job.
He's doing talks. That's what I say when he's in a conversation. You know, he might be with his mum or whoever. Oh, look, the voice of Andy is doing talks.
Yep.
So what I was trying to say was that you can't go see Andy, but I've got a primate that you can go and see.
Oh, yeah.
The Emperor Tamarin.
Oh, yes.
I've seen this primate at the Mogo Zoo.
Now you can too.
Where's the Mogo Zoo?
It's in the Mogo State Forest in New South Wales.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
Australia's first state.
Yes. New South Wales. That's right. The Mogo Zoo. Anyway, you could probably see it at a different zoo as well. But the Emperor Tamarin, it's a charming little monkey. It's got, you can have a look at a picture of it now.
It looks so old. It's got like a grey beard.
So that's the trick. It is not really old.
No?
It just has this sort of insane looking mustache.
Yeah, right.
And it's named after...
It looks wise. Do you think it's wise or is that a trick too?
Only if you think that people with mustaches are wise, I guess.
Oh.
I mean, there's been plenty of stupid people with mustaches in the
history. Hitler comes to mind, Evan.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Just to be fair, just to clarify, this monkey doesn't have a Hitler mustache.
Oh.
It has a Kaiser mustache, different leader of Germany. Is named after the Emperor of Germany.
Is that where things went wrong for Germany?
Yeah.
When they shrunk down the mustache?
Yeah, it seemed that way. They needed to keep it at a manageable level.
Yeah.
It was either too big or way too small.
Yeah, let's find a middle ground. I think they've done that now.
With no mustache at all?
Yeah, Merkel, right? Yeah.
Merkel doesn't have a mustache.
But I think that's a good compromise.
Yeah, just get rid of it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, neither of them really worked
why
out.
Why overcomplicate things?
So I think they're on the right track now.
So the Emperor Tamarin, it's a fantastic monkey.
But it only has a lifespan of 10 to 12 years.
That's right.
But did you know Emperor Tamarins are sexually mature at the age of 16 to 20 months?
Oh, wow. So that would be quite different from Andy from Toy Story.
And they're living their life from an earlier age.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
If you pack in a lot more of your life, I think that you've probably only got 10 to 12 years of really useful good stuff.
That means you could be a dad at the age of two. You know what I mean? So
yeah, right.
They grow up so fast, the Pretamarins. They are amazing looking creatures.
But it would be dead long before Andy from Toy Story.
Well, in a way, yes. Andy from Toy Story, I mean...
Never lived.
Especially if you look at the animation in the first Toy Story.
Not very lifelike?
An abomination.
Yeah, it's very Pinocchio sort of puppet boy.
Yeah, well, that was the technology at the time.
He wanted to be a real boy, but he was not.
Well, I'm just saying that the technology that created the Emperor Tamarin monkey, also known as Sanguinus Imperator.
Oh, fantastic.
If you speak Latin, is state of the art.
So does Emperor come from... sort of a fuzzy sound alike of Imperator, do you reckon?
Because
Emperor kind of sounds like Imperator.
Yeah, it'd be...
Pete just say before that he's named after the Emperor of Germany?
Yes.
Well, oh, you did say that.
Here. Yeah. And I think that Imperator is just...
Oh,
Latin
it is Emperor.
For Emperor.
I get it.
So there you go. That's
And Sanguinus. What does Sanguinus mean?
Sanguinous. I think it means calm, like calm. Sanguine.
Ah, calm that's emperor. Me
making it up.
But I find that believable. That's why you're very good at Boulder Dash. Evan, what do you think? Are you convinced?
Back is backgammon.
No, I think Andy will live longer.
Okay. So lifespan is Evan's main measure of how good a primate is.
So you'd love turtles.
He's heavier. He could have more offspring. He has a larger body length.
He has no tail, though. Andy has no
that's
tail.
That's true, no tail.
Or mustache.
But he's look, snakes are not his predators or wild cats or birds of prey. Mm. And
does Andy have any predators?
He'd be pretty close to the top of the food chain, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that guy with the skull T-shirt.
Sid.
Sid, yeah.
Are they friends? No, they're not friends. They don't really interact.
I guess not.
At all, do they? I'm trying to think if they do.
No, maybe they don't.
I think
of Sid when I think of Andy. Right. I've merged those two characters together. They both look like, you know, mannequins, so... well, I think that's a great suggestion, Evan.
It's a good suggestion, but
do you think backgammon came from an older pig's back meat?
Could be.
That do you think that's right? Initially those suitcases were made out of old pigs' backs?
It's one of the oldest known board games.
Mm.
It's a beautiful looking game. Years. Look at that design with the red and white spikes.
I really don't know how it works.
Yeah, I've got no idea.
You roll dice.
Oh, yeah.
And then you move the... You can split up the numbers any way you like. So you roll a 7.
Yep.
Then you... Assuming there's two dice.
Two dice, yeah, sure.
Then you can go, I'm moving this one 3 and I'm moving this one 4, I think. Anyway, this isn't Evan's backgammony show. If you want to know more about it, watch that. This show is about primates and popular culture. And today we're talking about Marvel's Beast.
Mm.
Peter, being a Marvel expert, he's brought in what looks like an even older comic than it is. You've just not looked after it. It's from 1986.
Yeah, so it's not that old, but it is falling apart and real disheveled. I've got a copy of issue 2 of the official Handbook to the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, whatever that means.
Oh, yes.
Which is pretty much, it's an encyclopedia of all of the Marvel characters circa 1986. And it tells you interesting facts about all of them. It has little diagrams of their costumes and their kits. It's super nerdy and I love it.
And is Beast page 1?
Beast is page 1. So this is issue 2, so it goes from Beast to Clear.
Oh, it's in alphabetical order.
So it's in alphabetical order. So from B to C.
Which is also, in a lot of ways, it's also ranked from best to worst.
Yeah. So the best ones, so...
B starting, you know, best starting with B, mm-hmm. worst with W, and that is always down the alphabet.
Mm-hmm. Wonder Man.
Wonder Man. Is that a thing?
Wonder Man.
Wonder Bread?
No, there's a character called Wonder Man.
Is Wonder Bread a super bread?
Yeah, it's the bread that Wonder Woman eats.
Whoa, that's cool.
Who's the very first alphabetically Marvel character?
Aardvark boy.
Ant-Man? No.
Ant-Man would be pretty close, but yeah. There's a super organization called AIM, AIM.
Oh yeah.
Advanced Idea Mechanics, so that comes that using my knowledge of the alphabet, I can say that comes before ANT.
Yeah, right.
I'd have to look. I don't actually have issue 1. I only find these in old op shops. And
do you reckon that's worth $100,000, that comic?
I reckon it's worth at least $5,000.
Wow, that's great. Because it looks like it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is worth at least.
It was worth $1.50 when new.
It's written on the front here $2.85.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there we go. It's missing most of its staples as well. But it does contain all sorts of useful information to us.
Are the staples the most valuable part of a comic book?
They're the most essential part of a comic book because without them, it's just a pile of pages.
Well, I still think that would be
so.
More...
They are very valuable.
So, if you had in one hand, I was holding two used staples, and in the other hand, a pile of pages of a comic book with a lot of words and pictures on it, you would pick the hand with the two staples.
That's what Evan seems to be saying.
I didn't say that.
Evan, have you lost your mind?
I was joking. I think the pages are more valuable.
Okay.
Anyway, look, this is my source of information about Beast. It's out of date, obviously, but it does tell you interesting things like Beast's eye color, which is blue.
like the rest of him.
Yeah, he's a blue guy. How many tons he can lift up?
Oh, how many tons?
Under optimal conditions, one.
Okay. That's still a lot.
That is a lot.
Still a lot.
Yeah.
What the name of his father is?
Yeah. Greg.
Norton.
Norton. Yeah. Great name.
Yep. Greg Norton?
No. Greg Norton. D.W. Norton.
No, no, no. The Beast's real name is Hank McCoy, so I assume it's Norton McCoy.
Norton McCoy is an awesome name.
Yeah.
That sounds like someone who, you know, is bounding across the plains, probably solving things.
Well, he's from Illinois, so I don't know
how many planes they have there.
Yeah, I don't think a lot.
I think that is actually where flight was discovered. So,
oh, actually, yeah, maybe I don't know enough not, about
no. Yeah, US flight was just, that was where they geography. The first bird was observed.
So
this was actually suggested, I should say, in the Dugon Podcast Network Patreon group by Brian Douglas. He said after listening to the Overwatch episode, he said Winston from Overwatch is obviously the Hank McCoy, aka Beast of Overwatch, and is nearly copyright infringement. We were suggesting, or Evan, I think, was suggesting that Overwatch's Winston was more like Tony Stark. And he said, get out of here with that Tony Stark talk.
Yeah, look, I mean, you might be right there. The Overwatch character also has Hulk-like characteristics. But Winston from Overwatch looks more like a gorilla than Hank McCoy. He, like, Beast looks more like a person. He doesn't really look like an ape or a gorilla. And I guess it depends on what you're...
Yeah, there's different eras, so they've drawn him differently over the years.
My main point of reference is...
Dr. Fraser Crane.
Dr. Fraser Crane. Mm-hmm. Kelsey Grammer playing him in the more recent X-Men films, which...
2006's X-3.
I think The Last Stand was his first one, I think. There was a Beast written into the first one, but the production company, or the... What do you call them? The...
executive producers,
the top dogs, the studio. Yeah. Thank you, God damn it. The studio said that they needed to cut back on budget, so Beast got chopped.
All right,
and Blue Kelsey Fur Grammer was expensive back then.
Yeah. I remember being so excited when Kelsey Grammer was going to be in an X-Men film.
Yeah, why? Like it. Every kid is favorite actor, Kelsey Grammer.
Well, I was genuinely, but I was also
something
genuinely
for the mums.
Me too. I was also so excited that Patrick Stewart is in those films.
Yeah. Hmm. What about Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd really grown to appreciate Hugh Jackman at that point. That was probably one of the first things I'd seen Hugh Jackman in. Like, I think Wolverine was probably one of his big sort of breakout roles.
Yeah, what about Paperback Writer?
Yeah, or Kate and Leopold.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's my mum loves that film.
Swordfish?
He's such a gentleman.
Was Swordfish
was
pre
it
or
Swordfish?
Post?
I think it's post. I think this is
his big breakthrough.
Break movie, yeah. It's pre-Kate and Leopold, I think.
The Boy from Oz on stage? I reckon that was pre-Wolverine, maybe? No?
I reckon that was after, too.
Gosh, geez, was there anything pre-Wolverine? Was there Laugh pre-Wolverine?
Was Paperback Writer, or is that Matthew Long?
I don't know. Is he an SNN footballer?
Yes.
This is from Comic Vine. It says, Beast is a founding member of the X-Men. Dr. Hank McCoy is a mutant possessing animal-like strength and agility, despite being covered in blue fur and resembling a ferocious beast.
Right, but what type of
I wonder
agility?
Where he gets his name.
Well, from which animal does that agility come from?
Oh, jeez, gets a bit from everywhere, but mainly apes.
Yes, definitely. So that's what
it is. Oh, I see.
Ape-like agility, but he also has simian features.
Yeah.
Usually.
And prehensile, is it prehensile? What? Not prehensile.
The tail?
No. Oh, wrong words. He can grab onto things with his feet.
Opposable thumbs. Opposable toes.
Opposable toes.
Yeah, his feet are hands.
Yeah.
In the more recent, the Days of Future Past sort of ones, the origin story for Beast in this series, that was one of the first things you saw of him. His mutation was his feet were hands.
Mm.
It was like Mr. McGreg, who had a leg for an arm and an arm for a leg, only both were arms.
Okay.
Hank possesses an astounding intellect and a superb wit. He's currently helping run the Jean Grey School while also serving with the Avengers.
Mm. So he's a bit of a man about town.
He's a man about town, yeah. He's a beast about town.
He's a beast about town. He's in all sorts of superhero teams.
So he's in the Avengers. I wonder if that, does that mean that potentially he could wind up in the MCU?
Dr. Fraser Crane? I'm listening.
Well, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
He's probably a little bit too old now.
Yeah, unless he's playing old Beast.
Yeah. So in the movies Kelsey Grammer plays like an older version of Beast.
Yeah.
Compared to the about a boy?
About a boy,
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, what is his name?
Matthew Long.
Matthew Long.
No, I don't know.
Wingman for the Essendon Bombers.
Because wasn't that the deal? So because X-Men is a Fox property, right?
We're talking, this is the IP chat section of the podcast.
Well, I don't know enough about it to get into it properly, but I think wasn't Quicksilver a case where he exists both in the MCU, he's been in one of those Marvel films, but also in the X-Men films because of maybe a technicality where the deal allows for Marvel to use characters if they're in the Avengers, then they can use them.
Maybe something like that, because that's a character that has history in both.
Yeah, different so I'm stories. Wondering if
but do you
if
know,
Beast does go into the Avengers, if that means that he could potentially,
you know, that
make the leap.
You know that Disney bought Fox, right?
So
the X-Men are coming into it.
Oh, right. That's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, that's exciting. Well, I hope they do bring back Fraser Crane.
Yeah, that would be great. So I think there's a lot of theories about how they're going to bring the X-Men into the universe.
When's Disney just going to buy Sony?
It's gonna happen. I think Disney's like a black hole that's slowly just swallowing
everything. Everything will just be one company. We'll all be working for Disney. It'll be great.
I think that they're in talks to buy Sony. They've got some sort of rights to Spider-Man.
Yeah, they've just...
That's up for grabs. I think they're going to make more Spider-Man movies, but Spider-Man's rights are co-owned by... Oh, this is... Yeah, I'm not sure.
But they just came to a deal where they'd reached an impasse and it looked like that wasn't going to happen, but now Disney's come to a deal. I think they're going to pay a quarter of the fee to make the film, the new Spider-Man film, and then they get 25% of the profits. I think initially it was 5%. And then they said, no, we want 50%. And Sony were like, no deal. And then they've come back and they've found a compromise. So at least one more is getting made, a Spider-Man film in the MCU with Tom Holland. It's amazing how much more I know now because I'm in the Patreon Great Mates group on Facebook.
And because mostly what they talk about is Spider-Man.
Yeah, there's a lot of Spider-Man talk in there. And hopefully I got that right, but that's what it seemed like. But I think I love when they merge all these movies together. But then some other people have been saying, maybe, you know, what happens when you can just have everything? Is that maybe the restraints on the MCU initially is what made it so good? Because they had to find these B characters like Thor and Iron Man, apparently. Was Iron Man one of the smaller characters?
No, they've always been big-ish characters in the comic books, but they're not characters that people know a lot about outside of...
But they were the biggest ones they kind of had available because they'd sold Fantastic Four and X-Men and...
Yeah, Marvel nearly filed for bankruptcy in the 90s. Like, they almost went under. And prior to that, they were selling the rights to their... characters to different studios so they could make movies so people would buy more comic books. And so that's why you have things like, yeah, you have all these different parts of the universe which should all be together and are all together in the comics, but they are owned by different corporate entities.
I mean, it makes sense when you put it like that. Who would have been thinking back then that Marvel, who are struggling to stay afloat, are eventually going to want to make their own movies? So, yeah. Like, there's these studios who do that. Let's just sell it to them, and that they basically are advertising our product,
yeah,
and paying us to do it.
This description sounds a lot like that Fraser Crane was the perfect choice for this character.
That's why everyone was so excited.
He's depicted as a brilliant, well-educated man in the arts, known for his witty sense of humor. Characteristically uses barbed witticisms with long words and intellectual references to distract his foes, despite his inhuman appearance.
Kelsey Grubb. You seen that footage of him without a nude at the table? That famous photo where Kelsey Grubb was sitting at his table nude.
What is this?
Was this a centerfold or something?
No, I think I can't remember. Kelsey Grubb and nude. All right, let's see what that comes up with.
The Beast is entirely blue and wears blue underpants.
Yeah, I thought that was a nude picture of the Beast when you first showed me that.
Nude picture?
But no, he's just wearing, for him, skin-coloured underwear.
Which, yeah, pioneered that that kind of look.
Why is Kelsey Grammer naked? All right. It's a question we're all asking.
Hey, Google, why is Kelsey Grammer naked?
Kelsey Grammer eats dinner nude skunk. This is on Scoop Nest. Yeah, this is the photo I was.
What?
That went viral a little while back.
Is this like a publicity stunt or something?
I don't look at his face. He doesn't know that photo was about to be taken. He's at a diner.
No. He's in his house.
No, okay, he's in his house.
What is he eating?
It looks like a pasta salad.
Oh, nice.
Penne pasta.
Is there an answer to the question? Because
Just says, Kelsey Grammer, 61, eats dinner in the nude after a skunk attack.
Oh, his clothes were ruined, right. I suppose.
But how does that photo get out? Anyway, it feels like we're off
track.
How
does it not get out? How do you do something like that without...
Who's taking the photo? Why is someone posting that online? Maybe he just put it up on his personal Facebook.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you want me to read some of the Marvel.com biography of Hank?
Yeah, let's learn about Dr. Henry Philip McCoy.
So while working at a nuclear power plant, Norton McCoy was exposed to massive amounts of radiation that affected his genes.
This is his dad then.
This is his dad, yeah.
Much like Kelsey Grammer's genes were affected by the skunk attack.
And he had to put them in the bin.
Yep.
And he didn't have a second pair of pants.
No, and then he had to eat his pasta because it was nice and hot.
Yeah. As a result, Norton's son, Henry Hank McCoy, was born a mutant who showed the signs of his being different from birth with his unusually large hands and feet. As a youth, Hank's freakish appearance was the subject of much ridicule from his classmates, earning him the nickname of Beast. However, one classmate named Jennifer came to know the real Hank after he began tutoring her in biology.
What a euphemism.
On the night of the junior prom, Jennifer insisted that Hank accompany her as her date and stood up for him after he was teased.
Aww.
A bit of a turning point, I guess. In his senior year, Hank's superhuman agility and athletic prowess earned him recognition as a star football player. That feels unfair.
Yeah.
During one game, Hank easily stopped a trio of robbers who were attempting to escape across the football field. His efforts were noticed by the villain named the Conquistador.
Conquistador?
Conquistador?
Conquistador.
Okay. I don't pronounce black words gammon. Well. Ah, oh, black gammon. Conquistador. Who? Do you know anything about Conquistador?
I think that the Conquistador is wholly made up for this particular thing. I don't think he gets to do anything else afterwards. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Conquistador is the most popular supervillain in the Marvel Universe, but
no,
we'll find out.
That's got to be the Green Goblin.
That's
a real thing.
Yep. Did you think you made that up?
I thought I'd made that up, but I actually made up a real one. I'm going to say the most ridiculous thing that comes to mind. Oh, it's already a Marvel villain. Green Goblin. That doesn't say a lot about my imagination. I've looked up conquistador, and there's a Wikipedia page about Spanish conquistadors.
No, I don't think it's the Spanish explorers and sort of people who annexed part of South America.
Okay, sure. Well, this conquistador kidnapped Hank's parents. Can you kidnap parents? I guess you can.
Yes, you can.
Hank's parents in an effort to coerce the young mutant into working for him. I'll give you your parents back if you do some crimes with me. Okay. The X-Men soon arrived and defeated the villain, and Hank was invited by Professor Charles Xavier to join the team of Teenage Mutant Heroes and enroll in the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. Unable to resist the temptation of a private institution that could offer him limitless academic opportunities, Hank accepted. And Hank's days were rich with differential equations, Proust, and workouts in the danger room. Proust? Proust.
I think Proust is right.
Proust, great.
We know what you're talking
Marcel
about.
Marcel Proust? Is that it?
Yeah, sure.
The guy wrote words in some way. A brilliant student, Hank completed his doctoral studies under Xavier's tutelage and finally graduated from the Xavier School to take a position at the Brand Corporation as genetic researcher under Dr. Carl Maddox.
Mm. So at this point, Hank is, he's just got big hands and big feet.
Yep.
And is he furry?
No, he's not furry. He's kind of like, his physique is kind of like a gorilla. He's got longer arms than a normal person. He's kind of sort of big and bulky, but he could still just be a guy. Like he could pass as a person.
Yeah, right.
You know?
You just wear big shoes.
A person without mutant abilities. Other people have wings and scales and things.
Yeah, and he's not. Yeah, when he's blue and furry, it's a bit harder to hide.
Yeah, although we'll get to it later on. He has methods of trying to hide his blue and furry.
He has ways.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
During one of his experiments, Hank discovered the hormonal extract that causes genetic mutation and went to inform Maddox of his findings. However, Maddox was secretly plotting to steal top secret government documents, and Hank took it upon himself to stop Maddox. In order to disguise his appearance, Hank took the extract and underwent radical physical changes that enhanced his agility and strength, as well as causing him to grow fangs, pointed ears, and fur all over his body. When he stayed too long in this state, Hank found he could not return to his original form. He was now a beast, in fact, as well as in name. At first, he tried to hide his mutation with a latex mask and gloves.
Yeah.
But later learned to accept his new appearance.
That was a bad idea.
So he's both a mutant and the result of a lab experiment gone wrong.
Yeah, he's got done the big two.
Yeah, right.
And he's also an alien from an exploding planet.
This idea that, so beforehand he's a costume adventurer, he has a mask, right?
Yeah.
And then he decides that to go undercover at his potentially corrupt boss's research facility, he'll take an experimental serum that'll turn him into a sort of monkey wolf man.
Yeah.
In order to disguise himself. I don't know. Like, they talk about him as being a super genius and,
you're starting to have feel doubts.
If he could make latex masks afterwards, he could make them before maybe and just look like someone different.
Yeah.
Or wear his X-Men mask. I don't know.
But the maybe something in the serum he took also gave him the idea for latex.
Oh, yeah.
Gave him fangs, fur, and an idea for latex. And a love of latex.
Yeah, well, I guess necessity is the mother of invention.
After receiving his doctorate in genetics and being considered one of the world's experts on mutations and evolutionary human biology, despite never having earned a Nobel Prize or being invited to join the National Academy of Sciences, Hank left Brand and applied to join the ranks of Earth's mightiest heroes, the Avengers. Initially accepted as a probationary member, Hank soon proved his worth and was granted full membership. It's like the MCC, the Melbourne Cricket Club or yep. something. Yes. You need two signatories of existing members, then you go on the waiting reference. List.
Yeah, there's a waiting list. There are supplementary members.
Yeah.
There are inactive members. All the Avengers have special cards.
Right.
With their faces on them. They do. In the comics, they actually
that's
have
fun.
Trading cards? Like
No. Like a ID driver's cards? License. Like an ID.
Yeah, right.
Wow. The Australian government often wants to make us do that too.
Yeah, they do. The Australian government just wants us to be like the Avengers.
They want us to be Avengers/X-Men.
I think maybe they can use the cards to talk to each other. I'm not sure. Oh, there's right. something else.
Well,
about
if the Australian
them.
Government did that,
yeah,
yeah, like if they made them like a mobile phone.
Yeah,
if the government wants to give me a mobile phone,
okay, yeah, that would be their way of getting around it. Hey, we want to take even more of your privacy. But we're going to give you a phone to track you.
Ooh.
But it's a cool phone. Ooh. Ooh, we're in.
It's got Twitter.
We'll take it. Take the deal. Take the deal. During his time with the team, he revealed his identity to the public in the hope that his status as an Avenger. Jeez, I'm struggling to say Avenger today.
Mm.
His status as an Avenger would help ease human mutant tensions.
Yeah.
And what were these human mutant tensions?
So in the Marvel Universe, the X-Men, they save and protect a world that hates and fears them. That's their tagline. So people don't like mutants. They think they're weird and strange and dangerous. And like mutants are often used as a... like an analogy or a metaphor for different minority groups and people who, sort of on the fringes of society. And yeah, it's not always a perfect metaphor because they also have superpowers and can shoot rays out of their eyes. But it's all about sort of being different and being outside and sort of trying to find acceptance.
Having special schools. You should go to this school where Patrick Stewart will teach you.
Mm, I'd go to that school.
I'd go to that school. Wish I was a mutant.
And so, yeah, it's kind of like at the time it would have been reflections of sort of like racial tensions, except
right.
making it about superheroes.
So it was kind of depending on what the political issues or climates they...
Yeah, it's about whoever is sort of on the outside, the people that sort of other... Even though they're just trying to help.
I imagine it probably worked a bit as well with the readership and feeling like, you know, because comic books used to be uncool. Can you imagine a time? But apparently back in the day they were. So maybe that the readers even felt that way as well, I wonder.
Yeah.
Did X-Men, you feel that way? Because you were into it before it was cool, I believe.
Yeah, that's me. Well, the X-Men is also about, I guess, being a teenager. And so... When you're
going through changes.
You're going through changes. So
your body, your feet
mm-hmm.
are becoming hands.
That's right. Well, the Beast is different because the Beast starts out with hands for feet.
Right. He's more like an Emperor Tamarin who reaches sexual maturity at 16 or 20 months.
And can have 1 to 2 offspring and is 26 centimeters long, according to the website. So
around.
So they... You know, like it's also about being a teen and going through changes and sort of trying to understand your new body and just sort of your place in the world. And
some kids got where do people come from? The book.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Others got a Fantastic X-Men Volume 72.
Yep,
that's everything you need to know is in here. Is that a real one? Did I make up another real thing?
X-Men Volume what? Which was
Fantastic X-Men Volume 72.
I don't know if there would. Yeah, maybe. Let's say yes. Volume 72.
Sure. All right, we did it.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad. Following a restructuring of the Avengers, Hank left and became involved with the team of adventurers known as the Defenders, which he soon reorganized into a more formal and cohesive unit, bringing in his former X-Men teammates, Iceman and Angel.
This is really exciting superhero stuff.
Yeah.
So what are the Defenders, though? Are they the defenders of the Earth? Or is that a different thing?
That's who are the defenders of the Earth?
I think it was
the Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, they're another group. So the defenders are just another superhero group.
Right.
They're less structured, apparently, than the
Well, they were.
Until Beast got in there.
He came in and he did some admin work.
Yeah.
Now we're going to meet on Wednesday nights for training. And then on Tuesday mornings.
I want to see you all here at 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they were just a sort of a looser, weirder version of the Avengers.
Right.
They were a bunch of characters that didn't really sort of fit together. I think the Hulk is also a defender. Doctor Strange.
Good luck bringing structure to the Hulk.
The Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer.
Valkyrie.
No good. Silver Surfer. One of the worst.
It's just another big group of superheroes.
Silver Surfer. So he's silver, yes. And he's like surfs a surfboard through the sky.
Yep, through the galaxy.
It's the worst thing. That's got to be, like, there's a lot of dumb stuff in here, but that's probably the worst of it. Silver Surfer. Is that a thing that people like? I remember that was the thing that stopped me getting into comic book stuff for a decade. I saw, there was, what was this, one of the Spider-Man movies? I saw a clip where, Fantastic Four. I'm like, I can't
watch
this.
Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, I think I saw a clip for. I'm like, I can't watch anything associated with this. I went outside and played. You know, this actually cost me quite a bit of time of understanding Marvel stuff.
Well, the Silver Surfer. The reason why the Silver Surfer is on a surfboard is because Jack Kirby got sick of drawing spaceships. And just this guy who
needs to... It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah. This guy who needs to zip around the universe, just put him on a surfboard.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's probably
that makes sense now that you're...
Living at the beach at the time.
Yeah.
You know.
So I'm guessing maybe the Silver Surfer's origin story is that when he came to Earth, he saw a surfer and then he has a thing that can morph into different shapes or something. And that's him trying to assimilate.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But being silver is a non-negosh. I will assimilate with a surfboard, but I will remain metallic or silvery.
I think he just comes from a planet of surfers.
Right.
Cowabunga
dudes.
Norin Rad.
A planet of surfers.
Yeah. They're just real gnarly.
Surfers paradise?
Yes, it could be surfers paradise.
So he brought in Iceman and Angel to the Defenders.
Yeah.
Iceman being the guy who makes ice.
Yes.
And Angel being the one with the big wings.
That's right.
They were both in the old...
I've seen them in the movies.
Yeah, they're in the original X-Men movies.
Yeah, and they're the part of the original X-Men team.
Right, cool. Following the apparent death of several of the Defenders, Hank reunited with the other four original X-Men to form X-Factor. Oh,
the Australian TV show.
The Australian talent quest show.
Yep.
I think it was actually based on a British franchise.
I was talking about specifically the Australian offshoot. Yeah.
Hosted by maybe one of the Good Charlotte guys?
Maybe. No, I did a bit before. Isn't X Factor has Bardot? Are they from that? And Scandal Us?
Sophie Monk.
Yes.
What, is that where they came from? Or they're hosting?
No, that was Pop Stars.
Is that Pop Stars?
That's Pop Stars.
All right.
X Factor is... I don't know if anyone ever got success from that.
I can't remember.
You've got it. You've got the X Factor.
Well, in
Welcome to Obscurity.
It's a fine name for a reality talent show.
Yeah, no, I'm not making fun of the name at all.
What about for a superhero group formed of the early versions of the... What were they? The X-Men.
X-Men, yeah.
Yeah.
What about Max Factor? What do you think of that for a group of...
For eyelash.
Eyelash.
Yeah, is this a
superheroes with great eyelashes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that could be cool. So shortly after the formation of X-Factor, Hank was captured by Maddox. So is Maddox a pretty well-known bad guy? Sounds like he comes into Hank's
bad
story
X-Man.
A little bit.
Like he's a bad X-Men baddie.
Right. So Hank was captured by Maddox, who sought to experiment on Hank in an attempt to find a cure for his son's own mutancy. However, the serum Hank was given caused him to revert to his original human appearance. Soon after, Hank first met television anchorwoman Trish Tilby, who was investigating X-Factor. It's interesting, this stuff that this is the official Marvel website's biography.
Yeah.
They're including some interesting facts. Is that important, Trish Tilby?
Trish Tilby. I don't know. I don't know if Trish Tilby has a long and rich character history.
Trish
after.
Tilby. Trish Tilby.
Tell us more about Trish Tilby, Evan.
Trish Tilby is so that's a Beast's longtime girlfriend.
Oh, okay. So that is important.
But yeah. But she broke up with him.
Oh no!
After being accused of bestiality, which is probably
okay,
somewhat fair enough. But that was after he entered his enhanced feline form.
Oh, okay.
But he's less of a primate then, I guess. Yeah, so we don't not really, really need to talk about that. No.
We don't talk about
the feline days.
It's weird. He becomes more. He does like a secondary mutation and becomes more feline, and then and then he's single again. And then he later uncovers what seems to be a female mutant with feline features. This raises hopes for him until he discovers it's not a mutant human that looks like a cat, but it's a mutant cat that looks like a human.
And that's wrong.
Anyway.
So he's splitting hairs there.
Yeah. Anyway, whoever that is dies.
Oh, thank God.
So it's not really an issue that it needs to be dealt with.
During the Marvel bio goes on to say, during an attack on New York by the Eternal Mutant Apocalypse and his four horsemen, Hank was stricken with a virus that sapped his intellect and increased his strength every time he exerted himself physically. The more Hank used his strength, the stronger he got, but the less intelligent he became.
Uh-oh.
Finally, to save his friend Iceman from the deadly kiss of the mutant
named Val Kilmer.
Infectica. Infectia? Which, yeah, I think if you heard Infectia was in town, you wouldn't be kissing Infectia. There's something about that name that says she's got a deadly kiss. Hank intervened and was himself affected, the result of which returned him to his blue furred form and restored his intellect. That's lucky.
Yeah. No one ever seems to get just, sick and dies from any of this. You always revert back to a different form or grow extra arms or, the exciting things happen.
Soon after, Hank and Trish began seeing each other romantically. Evan spoiled this. However, her work often intruded on their relationship and the pair ultimately called it off. Evan spoiled this. After X-Factor disbanded, Hank returned to the ranks of the X-Men and became the team's resident technological and medical genius. So, I love that a team has a resident medical genius.
Yeah. You got to have one.
Pretty much, if you
Who's our medical genius?
Don't look at me.
if you're a scientist or anyone who's remotely smart in the comics, you can do everything.
Right.
You can be a technologist. You can fix all their super jets. You can also be a medical genius. And it's all because you're wearing glasses.
I was wearing my glasses today.
Yeah, Matt wears glasses, which makes him the technological genius of this group.
I'm the Donatello of this.
Pretty much.
Mutant crew.
Everyone, me and Evan, just dum-dums.
Yeah.
Became a medical genius, working on everything from advanced alien technology to deadly mutant-killing legacy virus. Hank also continued his on-off relationship with Trish, until she released information on the virus to the public, which caused hysteria that culminated in the beating to death of a young mutant. Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is where the X-Men starts sort of dealing with social issues and all that. Well, I mean,
it always has, doesn't it?
Yeah, the X-Men's always been pretty serious, compared to, say, the Avengers.
Right.
Everyone's always, in love and dying and screaming and being upset. As far as I remember. I don't know.
That's X-Men.
Yeah, that's X-Men.
A lot of screaming and dying.
Yep.
And love. Sounds like my life.
Okay.
During this tenure with the X-Men, Hank was lured into a trap and released in the ranks of the X-Men by the Dark Beast, an alternate reality version of himself. Oh, that's fun. Sealed behind a brick wall, Hank was nearly about to give up. Oh, geez, that was an awkward pause. Hank was nearly about to give up and let fate. And Hank was nearly about to give a present. Hank was nearly about to give up and let fate win when his water tube broke and spurted.
I beg your pardon?
Wait, what is that? Sealed behind a brick wall. Hank was nearly about to give up and let fate win when his water tube broke and spurted. Does he have a water tube? Is that an inbuilt thing?
I mean, maybe.
Have I missed something?
Goes through a lot of biological changes.
The water spurt revealed the grooves of a trapdoor in his cell. Jeez, another bit. Great stroke of luck there. Yeah. Energized by hope, Hank broke his restraints and escaped with the aid of the new government-sponsored X-Factor team. Mm-hmm. Hank returned to the X-Men.
And the water tube.
And the water tube. Jeez, but unfortunately, at first he was like, oh no, my water tube is broken, spurted. But then he realized, oh, this is actually going to save the day. Thank God I had this water tube here. So he went back to the X-Men soon after, met with Trish to apologize for his previous harsh treatment of her. I mean, she did something that led to a bashing death of a young mutant.
Yeah, I don't know the exact story of this, but I mean, she's a reporter. She has a duty to report the truth. Okay.
You can't. There's always just there's all a bit, you know? Always a bit of Jean Grey in every scenario. Not just black and white. Oh, it's not just Jean Black and Jean White. Yep, there's also a bit of Jean Grey, who's a character from the X-Men.
Yeah, but she wasn't really involved, was she?
I think I mentioned her at one point.
Okay.
He teaches at her school.
Okay.
She forgave him, and the pair renewed their relationship. Jeez, about on again, off again. Hank, we're coming to the end here. Hank eventually took an extended leave of absence from the X-Men to work on a cure for the Legacy Virus, which he ultimately found thanks to his implementing the work of his former colleague, the late Moira MacTaggert.
Mm.
Soon after, do you know anything about Moira?
I think that she is played by Rose Byrne in the new films.
Ah.
Maybe.
Is she a mutant?
No, she is. She's a sort of love interest for, she's an expert. She's also a love interest for Professor X, Xavier. I can't remember anything else about it. She's a mutant expert, I think.
She's in the right place.
More recently known as Moira X. Because everything has to be an X.
Oh, is that because she married Xavier X?
Oh.
No, it's Xavier. I don't know how the naming conventions work in this world.
Oh, romantically involved with Professor X? Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah, that's all I know about her. I'm sure she does lots of other things.
Soon after, Hank joined Storm's team of extreme X-Men in the quest for the diaries of the late mutant seer, Destiny. Almost killed in the team's first battle with the villainous Vargas, Hank's life was saved by his teammate Tessa, who used a heretofore-seen power. Heretofore unseen power.
What a word.
To accelerate the beast. What an unnecessary word. To accelerate the beast mutating to a new level. Hank returned to Xavier's mansion to recuperate and mutated further, becoming bulkier, heavier, and taking on a more leonine appearance.
Oh.
Is this his feline phase?
Yes.
Leonine.
So like a lion, I guess.
Oh.
But a blue lion. So this is, not so much a primate anymore.
No. So this is
the man for all seasons.
Yeah. Honestly, my interest is fading at this point.
But he's still part human.
That's true.
The best primate.
Forced to relearn fine motor control over his body, Hank once again served as the team's resident genius. He's like, I'm glad. He's got a corner office and stuff. As well as an active teacher of dozens of young mutants at the renamed Xavier Institute of Higher Learning. Unable to deal with his latest mutation, Trish called Hank and ended their relationship over the phone. This is as a cat, as he's
over
a one.
Over the phone?
Yeah. That's brutal.
Soon after, Hank was beaten into a coma by Beak.
God.
Who's Beak? I'm guessing like a...
don't know.
It's some sort of a big big bird?
Beak. No, I think that Beak's another... it's another mutant. Everyone's looking up Beak.
Yeah.
Getting all sorts of strange things on the internet. Beak.
It is. It's a man with a big beak on his face.
Right. I've got here... the beak, bill, and or rostrum is an external anatomical structure of birds that is used for eating and preening, manipulating objects, killing prey, fighting, probing for food, courtship, and feeding young. So that's Beak.
That's Beak.
Yep.
Here's an X-Men Beak. He's holding a baseball bat awkwardly.
Mm.
That's a superpower.
And he beat up the beast.
Yeah,
bees in this.
Beaked up. He beaked up and he beaked up.
Beak beat beast.
Beak beat beast. But that, yeah, so that is a little surprising to me, actually, that little beak guy could beat up beasts.
Yeah. Well, I guess because he's no longer, he's less simian, less good.
Right. No, that's true. So Beak was possessed by Professor Xavier's malevolent twin, Cassandra Nova, who herself had possessed Xavier's body. Hank recovered.
Wait. So who had was possessed by Xavier? No, wait. So
Professor
Cassandra.
So Beak was possessed by Professor Xavier's or Xavier's malevolent twin, Cassandra Nova, who herself had possessed Xavier's body.
Right. So this is a nested Russian doll,
yeah,
kind of thing of possession.
Hank recovered in time to expose her plans, and Cassandra was ultimately defeated, but not before she had exposed her brother Charles to the world as a mutant, forever changing life at the Xavier Mansion for the X-Men.
Ba, ba, ba.
That's how it ends. And it gives him ratings for durability. He gets four.
Four.
Energy.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it looks like it's out of seven.
Right.
One out of seven for energy.
One out of seven for energy.
Four out of seven for fighting skills. Six out of seven for intelligence. Three for speed and four for strength.
Right. Energy must be like if you shoot thunderbolts out of your fingers, right, or something.
Not just if he's got moxie.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of get up and go.
More stamina. Energy.
More power. I found on Cinema Blend, there's an article, or a short article, titled Why Beast is Blue. Do you want to know about that?
Yeah.
Hank McCoy, a.k.a. Beast, wasn't always blue and furry. Originally in the comics, he looked like a human with oversized hands and feet, which granted him incredible strength and agility. However, after he injected himself with a formula to increase his power, he sprouted gray fur and morphed to look animalistic.
And we have gone over this then.
Then, because he kept this extract in the system for too long, the change ended up being permanent. Eventually, Hank's fur was changed to blue. In real life, the intent was to make Beast's fur look black. But because the ink looked more blue, eventually the folks at Marvel decided to stick with the azure shading.
Right.
So he was meant to be a black beast.
But that cost too much to use that much ink.
Yeah, I think that's why there's a lot of blue characters, maybe. You know, you got Mystique is blue.
Yeah.
Beast is blue.
Captain America.
Nightcrawler is blue. Apocalypse. Is that what could that be why, Pete? Is blue just a cheaper color ink?
Well, you use less ink because it's if it's black, it has to all you can use the dots.
Right.
If it's blue.
But black has to be solid.
Yeah, black's usually solid, unless it's dots and then it becomes grey.
Jean Grey,
yeah.
Oh, no. What do you think of Beast as a character, Pete? You know, as a long-term comic book guy.
I think he's really fun. I haven't read a lot of X-Men comics, but I used to read The Avengers, and Beast was always like a fun sort of comic relief, happy-go-lucky kind of guy. He's got a catchphrase and jumps
is that a
around.
Catchphrase?
Yeah.
What's his catchphrase?
Oh my stars and garters.
That's
garters?
Great.
Yeah. Oh my stars and garters. I don't know what it means.
Garters aren't garters. Garters things.
Things like, that you keep your socks up, aren't they?
Yeah.
Stars.
Is that like the wedding thing?
Yeah, I think so. You were at a wedding yesterday. Did they throw a garter?
They didn't.
Is a garter the thing you throw?
No.
Oh, that's a bouquet.
No. That's a bouquet.
A garter, I think the
groom used to take it off with his teeth or something.
Yeah, off the thigh.
It's died out a little bit.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of weddings with that. The wedding I was at yesterday was a same-sex wedding.
Garters involved?
No garters involved.
But lots of stars.
You don't see garters much anymore.
I don't know if you would have seen them much. I reckon, anyway, there are under the pants.
Yeah, so
obviously Kelsey Grammer.
But I mean, the garters, people don't wear garters.
Yeah,
they're never visible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because of advances in elastic technology.
Right.
That we now are able to keep up our socks, our undergarments without needing to resort to garters.
Garters. That's a wild time where they thought garters. Someone invented garters before inventing socks that just stay up themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what the beast is talking about when, but I'm pretty sure that's the catchphrase.
It's just a general exclamation.
But it's just always witty and, you know that he's really smart because he's wearing glasses.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's so clear.
Mm.
He's like got a lot of glasses on. I found another article. Do you want to hear some other quick facts?
Sure.
No pressure.
No. Yes.
Why not?
The first seven had been, we've already talked about, they'd already been covered. So there's 20. This is a Screen Rant's article called 20 Strange Things About Beast's Anatomy. And they go through things like he's been a mutant since birth.
Yeah.
They created a serum. Sure. Blah, blah, blah. Known all these.
Got it.
14, he can run with his hands and feet. Maybe we didn't say that, but, you know, I think we all knew that somewhere deep down.
Like a gorilla.
Yeah. 13, though, I don't know if we knew this, he's resilient to cold temperatures and harmful foreign substances.
Right.
Did you know that?
Harmful foreign substances he's resilient to.
Yeah. There are some superheroes like Iceman who are able to freeze their opponents. However, thankfully for Beast, this would never be something that he would have to worry about, as he is able to survive extremely cold temperatures. One of the reasons why he's able to survive in cold temperatures is because of his fur. Mm. This means that, at least in his human form, he might want to avoid the cold and stay in warm temperatures. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's no wonder he wanders around just in his underpants.
Yes.
Most of the time. So he can't be that, you know, he needs to be pretty comfortable at any temperature.
Although when Kelsey Grammer played him, he was often suited up.
Yeah. Like
a business suit. Here's another one that we haven't gone through. Number 12, he can send out pheromones to attract others.
Ooh.
Beast has countless unique powers. One of his abilities allows him to manipulate his own pheromones. This allows him to attract others, which can help him find suitable mates. Jeez, it didn't sound like it did a lot of work with Trish, though, did it? This allows him... Beast has had several romantic interests, including Jean Grey in X-Men Forever, Storm in the Ultimate Marvel Universe, and Abigail Brand, who said that she wanted to start a family with Beast in Avengers versus X-Men. In X-Men The End, Beast married Cecilia Reyes, and they had 3 children.
Mm. Huh. And this is all because he manipulated them with his pheromones.
Yeah, this feels like real, that's just Me Too ready to go, isn't it? You're going to get cancelled, Beast.
No, he's just a ladies' man.
No, okay.
Like Frasier Crane.
Yeah.
Dr.
Frasier Crane on Frasier,
yeah,
his show. Geez, he had a new date every week.
That's because his body was able to secrete pheromones.
Oh, okay.
which he used to attract suitable mates.
Not every week. He went through dry spells. We'll talk about Frasier when we do the episode.
We're going to do an episode about Frasier eventually.
Because there are chimps on that.
He does a cooking segment with chimps, or a chimp at one point.
Yeah.
I'm just going through. He's over 400 pounds.
Well, according to my 1986 book, he weighs 350.
It varies a bit. Yeah. Here it says, in X-Men, the X-Men universe, one of the largest characters is Blob, who at one point weighed over 500 pounds. That's just, you're squeezing in a fact there, aren't you?
That's not a beast fact.
While Beast may not be quite as heavy as Blob.
What? That's not a fact.
He does weigh 402 pounds. However, it is interesting to note that Beast has never been slowed by his weight. Instead, it makes him even more powerful, as he can lunge at enemies who wish to take him on. Yeah, he's one big ball of muscle.
Interesting.
Yeah. But he's only 5'11".
Yeah. I'm taller than Beast.
I'm surprised he's not taller.
Yeah, I'm lighter than Beast. You know what? He does hunch a little because he's got long arms.
Because he's
does he
like
run on all fours?
Yeah, I think
like
that
a gorilla. Yeah.
Someone mentioned that earlier.
Did you know anything about Dark Beast?
Dark Beast is from an alternate timeline where I think Apocalypse had taken over the world. He was an evil he was an evil scientist.
Right.
Experimented on people with unethical experiments or something like that. And then he escaped into the main Marvel universe and is just running around and stinking it up.
Oh, he's singing with the pheromones.
Yeah, that's right, with the pheromones.
Dark pheromones?
Yep. Yep.
Attracting dark love interests.
Yep. That are really not good for him.
Oh, no. Honest.
And the bad relationships all around.
The Avengers number 164 was the first to depict Beast as a sex symbol.
That was when they started thinking, if this ever makes a big screen, let's get Dr. Yeah. Fraser Crane.
Yes.
Resulted in very positive mail from female readers in particular.
I bet.
And was this was a centerfold or what was this?
Could have been. Also.
Well, he's always wandering around without any clothes, like just wearing underpants. It's no wonder that
right.
Well, people like, thought that the Beast was, you know.
Those classic American white.
Yeah, that's right. Why fronts? Yeah.
Why? I feel like in the comics he should wear more clothes.
But he's already covered in fur. Like he's very. Why do you wear clothes, Evan?
Because I'm not covered in fur, I suppose.
Yeah. Well.
Well, you've answered your own question, haven't you?
Yeah.
I just, you know, in the films he's wearing suits, and I think that's a good look.
I think because in the films he is a government representative. He's the Secretary for Mutant Affairs.
Right, okay.
So
suit and tie.
None of the other American, what do they call them in, not ministries.
Departments,
so. Yeah, have don't wear any clothes.
So it would feel a little inappropriate.
Yeah.
All right, Beast, especially with all those pheromones, you know.
Secretary for Agriculture wearing clothes, you know. Sort of Secretary of Foreign Affairs wearing clothes. He's just trying to fit in, you know.
I don't know why they're doing this like a countdown on Screen Rant because there's no correlation to these. Getting more interesting or anything, but number four says his agility and acrobatic abilities are comparable to Olympic athletes.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, a mutant superhero. He's so agile, you could compare him to like an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
Whoa, now I'm interested.
I think, and all the Olympic athletes at once, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that the Beast is good at pole vault. Per se, he's better good at hurdles as well.
Yeah. He's, it says, it is easy to compare Beast to an Olympic gymnast. Beast's superhuman abilities also include an enhanced level of stamina, which allows him to engage in high levels of physical activities, wink, wink, for hours before he starts to feel like he might need to slow down and take a break. Jeez, they are.
Really trying to portray Beast as a sex symbol. Just laying it on thick.
Yeah. Wow, number three, his reflexes allow him to dodge gunfire.
That's not like an Olympic level athlete,
I'm pretty sure. No, you shouldn't be able to do that. That's pretty cool. Two, there's a version of him with a tail.
Right. I didn't know that.
Version of Beast joins the Exiles in Exiles, which was released in 2009. In this world, Beast's intelligence was reduced as a result of his mutation. However, to make
doesn't
up for
doesn't wear glasses.
No, he's not wearing glasses in the picture there.
Yeah, so not smart.
Eyesight was better.
He's more physically imposing, though. In order to help emphasize that that this was in an alternative version of Beast. In order to help emphasize that this was an alternative version of Beast, artist Salvador Espin and the writer Jeff Parker decided to give this version of McCoy a tail. This series also featured different variations of other popular characters, such as Black Panther and Scarlet Witch, who also
had tails.
who also appear slightly different.
Right.
Oh, wow. Thank you for squeezing that interesting fact.
Slightly different.
And finally, the number one.
Oh, number one.
Number one.
Right. Evan, do you want to guess what the number one Beast fact is?
I'm going to guess he's blue.
Oh.
That's pretty high up.
That feels like that would make more sense. But number one is there is a zombie version of him.
Oh, wow. That's actually, that's interesting.
Zombies have appeared.
He died and was reanimated?
Yeah, I think the Marvel Zombies has been like quite a successful series, I believe.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, there was a sort of plot line about a zombie virus infecting superheroes, and then that meaning that there were super zombies and they ran around and ate
people. You don't want that.
No, no, no. It seemed pretty bad for everyone concerned.
Yeah, so he was a part of that, which is cool.
Yep.
And that is the number one fact.
Mm-hmm. But did that zombie beast wear glasses?
It's
got superhuman everything else, but is he's long-sighted. Like,
what do you think? Maybe it's just clear glass. Just doing it for the...
Just a bit vain, wants to look more... I mean, he's the team's resident genius. I don't know... whether or not there is anything he needs to prove.
Well, it feels like he thought that maybe there was. So, yeah, I guess that sort of brings us to... Is there anything else you want to talk about, Pete, in terms of the Beast? Apparently, it initially was called the Beast. Oh, and then they dropped the
yeah,
and became Beast. I guess in
like Facebook?
Yeah, I'm guessing like, Justin Timberlake scene in The Social Network. Let's drop the
Mm.
Yeah, he's a fun character. And like a lot of comic book characters who've been appearing in various forms over like 60 years, it changes a lot, which is really fun. I think that's one of the fun parts about comic books is you can just sort of, oh, now he's a cat.
Yeah.
And now he's in another alternate dimension, which is something that you can't really do in the films quite so much because you don't have as much time. Yeah, it's just, it's a fun... He's a fun guy.
He does. I think I didn't know anything about him really. Fraser Crane was all I really knew about him.
Yeah.
And then the guy from what was it? He was about a boy slash. What was that British show he was in? That other
Skins.
Skins. Yeah. I know him from Skins.
Oh, you're talking about Nicholas Holt?
Maybe.
We are talking about Nicholas Holt.
Oh.
Because he plays him. He's sort of in the flashback ones. What do you call it? The origin things of the more recent X-Men.
Yeah, the prequel.
Prequel,
soft reboot.
Yeah. Apparently the timeline in the X-Men universe is pretty messed up.
Yeah.
So that's something they can fix in the now that they've been brought into the Phage regime or the Phage regime, as someone probably calls it.
Brendan, what's the Phage? This is the head of Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser? Is that
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, he's got like beast level intellect, this Phage guy. Yeah. He can really bring it all together.
Kevin Phage, the resident super genius.
Yeah, exactly. What kind of, we normally give it a rating, a banana score. I guess we're just talking about a character. What Evan, maybe you want to kick it off just to show Pete how this bloody system
works. I give him
works.
1 out of 7 for energy, 6 out of 7 for intellect.
These are bananas?
These are bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you just for time, what's your overall banana score?
I give him 6 out of 7.
Jeez, that's a high score.
I reckon he's a pretty good, you know, he's a good mutant.
Yeah.
Good character in the lineup.
And how ripe are your bananas?
They're ripe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're of a good ripeness.
Yeah. I reckon.
And Pete, how about you?
Out of 7.
Well, like, however big your bunch is.
Oh, it's probably, it'd be about 5 because that's 5 bananas for the week.
Yep.
And I have 1 banana.
You're a weekday.
Yeah, 1 banana every day.
I don't banana on weekends.
No. I don't. It's weird. Anyway, so 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. Yeah, perfect great. Banana score.
Perfect banana score.
Perfect ripeness?
You have to buy them at the start of the week.
Right.
And so they're a little bit green. So that by the time you get to the end of the week,
Monday's,
you can still eat them.
Monday's banana is crispy.
Yep.
But Friday's is a little
it's
soft.
It's probably a little bit over.
But Wednesday.
Just right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Some people call Wednesday hump day. I call it perfect banana day.
Yes.
I think I give it, I find it a little difficult because I don't know the vast majority of the characters in the comic book universe.
So comparing.
But comparing to what I know, I reckon he's now one of my favorites. And he already kind of was because he was Dr. Fraser Crane, only furry. I'm like, how good's this? But now that I know even more about him, I'm going to give him. My bunch is normally about 7, I think, because I eat on the weekends.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I indulge. And banana pancakes, something like that. Ooh. Sunday banana pancakes, for sure. Pancakes, sorry. Oh. Pancakes. Just, don't know why I said it weird.
Pancakes.
It's Sunday. I relax. I have a bit of fun.
Sunday fun day.
Yeah. Fun cakes.
Fun cake.
So I'm going to give him 6 out of 7 delicious bananas that are ripe to perfection.
Well done, just, beast.
Just lost the last bit of green. I like them just yellow. And do you see it? What we normally talk about how Andy Matthews is some sort of scientist.
We normally talk episode. About Andy Matthews, yes.
Yeah, and he was the best man at your wedding, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. So you and he's a primate.
And he's a primate. And he's a scientist who wears glasses.
And he has the same name as Andy from Toy Story.
Wow, he's the best of all of us.
Yeah.
But he also said on the first episode that chimps and humans share about 98% DNA. So we normally talk about how much of ourselves we see in the main primate character. Are there any qualities of yourself you see in Hank McCoy?
Well, I don't wear glasses. Okay. So that's a little bit hard.
Yeah.
And I only
And you need them, so you can't see anything in him.
Yes, that's true. something that we didn't talk about was his hair, which is pretty cool.
Great hair.
Yeah, he's got really cool hair. It's a bit Wolverine-ish. It sort of points up at the ends.
Yeah, it is Wolverine-y, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I also saw a picture of him depicted as a bald man.
Yeah, I think,
with buck teeth.
Right. this might be one of the many transformations of Hank McCoy.
Yeah.
But I've always thought that his hair was very cool.
Sick hair. Your hair's pretty cool,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, my hair's pretty cool, too. So I'm going to say that I see...
It is important 80, to get this right.
82%.
82%, that's a good percentage. Jeez, I didn't even think of the hair. The hair's great. Yeah. I see him more as aspirational. I don't feel quite as arrogant as you to see myself in Hank McCoy. 82%.
Yeah.
It basically means you're a perfect human.
Yeah, I'd be much lower than that.
He is a perfect. He's part of the Homo superior mutant race.
Oh, okay, of course.
The next step of human evolution.
I'm going to say I'm maybe 15%, and that is all just... That's just because I really want to be like him. And I'm going to strive to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aspirational.
I'm 1 out of 7 energy. I think that's what I mainly see of myself in him.
Right.
And now, Evan, it's down to you.
You've got the deciding vote. I'm about the same. I don't have the genius level intellect or his animal-like physiology or his blue tint.
You are bulky, though. You're a unit.
Mm.
I feel like you could bench press a ton. Conditions.
All right, well, maybe in perfect conditions. Maybe I could. On the moon.
On the moon, yeah.
Does that count as...
Would you say conditions? That you feel more in common with Fraser Crane?
Frasier Crane. I think I have more in common with Fraser Crane.
The lyrics are, oh, baby, I hear the blues are coming. That's what he says when he's morphing into the blue.
The blues are calling.
Yeah. The blues was literal. He wasn't talking about sadness.
Oh, baby, I hear the blues are calling.
Tossed salad and scrambled eggs. Oh.
Which is what he was eating when he was nude in that photo.
I wonder if he was wearing a garter.
Oh.
We couldn't see his legs.
I reckon Fraser Crane would definitely be a garter man.
Yeah.
I feel like I reckon I can picture him in garters.
This feels like a luxury item now.
Yeah.
It's very sartorial. Like, he was always very well-dressed.
Oh, yeah. I bet he was wearing leather garters, if that's a thing.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
It does, yeah.
Did you give us a number, Evan? It really doesn't matter.
I matched your 15.
Great, perfect.
And raised you 2. 17%.
Well, that brings us to the Patreon shout-out segment of the show. So if you support this show and the broader Do Go On podcast network.
And who doesn't?
You do, don't you? Gam.
Well, presumably some people, otherwise you wouldn't be making the call out, but you know, sorry, please continue.
So you can go to patreon.com/dogoonpod and you get a lot of different rewards. One of them is we give you a shout out and let everyone know your favorite primate. You also get bonus episodes. You get into our Facebook group, which is Patreons only, after dark. But yeah, here are some of the Patreons and their favorite primates. Amy Lawton, and we normally say, if you can convince Evan that you've got a primate that's better than humans. Amy Lawton writes, I'm wholeheartedly supporting Andy from Toy Story.
Thank you.
Wow.
And then she did 3 primo emojis. Thank you, Amy.
For your support, Amy.
You're wrong, but I appreciate that very much. Janine Stephen writes, I haven't had one. Favorite primate, that is. So I searched patterned primates, which really confused Google because she spelled it like this. She misspelled it like we misspelled the title of the show, Primates. Oh. I've heard a few people say that they misspell primates now because of the...
There's an extra E? Is that
what, yeah, we've split into two words.
Oh, it's definitely only one word.
Mates. I eventually came across the Gunon monkey. Sorry, I have no idea how to pronounce it either. Thank you. It's a really diverse monkey species with patterns and coloured faces. Britannica described them as slim and graceful. I think they're pretty cool. Slim and graceful.
How's it spelled?
Sounds like me.
Goo.
G-U-E-N-O-N. For those playing along at home. And Evan?
Playing along in the studio? Oh, wow.
Holy shit.
That's some cool looking primate.
Whoa. I can't believe how I'm still surprised by primates every week. Look at their colouring. The yellow sort of legs.
Yeah.
And then the blue face and that mohawk.
The Wolf's Mona one looks pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
That's
very beastish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same colour.
Yeah, the blue hue.
In that photo.
Oh, because there's a lot of different ones. There's these ones with the mohawks. But there's a bunch of different goons.
Yeah, some of them look more boring than others. But some of them look really impressive.
Yeah, they've got... some of this one's
and
got...
And you know who you are, Goonon Monkey.
It's definitely got the Wolverine / Beast hair.
Yeah, there's
spikes.
Just two little pointy bits on the sides.
So sick. Oh, that's great. What a fantastic suggestion. Thank you so much, Janine. Slim and graceful. Jeez, that's an understatement. They do so much more. Kayla MH writes, another gorilla, Coco, was one of the first to learn sign language. Being somewhat famous, she met celebrities including Robin Williams. When they met, she especially loved his hairy arms. Years later, when he died, her handlers told her and she not only remembered him, but was able to articulate sadness. Anyone who is friends with Robin Williams is cooler than us, and that includes non-human primates and cartoon humans.
Oh, it sounds like that's a pointed...
That does feel pointed somewhere.
Directed at someone in this room.
Someone in this room, not me.
Coco is a wonderful... primate.
Yeah.
It's so kind and possesses all sorts of characteristics that you would normally associate with cartoon-based children. And I think...
Right.
Like she'll just walk across screen and you'll only see her legs sometimes.
That's right. No, she's a lovely individual.
Yeah. She
like
was.
Robin Williams.
Yep, she liked Robin Williams. She took care of kittens. She's very intelligent, learned sign language.
If people are interested, we did an episode, a full episode on Coco a few months back with Angus Gordon and Andy Matthews, who's some sort of scientist.
Mm.
As we did it was our first and only car-based episode where we recorded as I drove Andy home to his country house.
on the road.
That's a great suggestion, Kayla. Yeah, he lives in a beautiful part of country Victoria. If you want to know where it is, let me know and I'll give you the address so you can do the celebrity drive-through. Mm-hmm. Buses stop there most days,
the
I think.
The celebrity star map of regional Victoria.
Well, you can reenact that episode of Primates.
Oh, great.
Yep. All you need is one Angus Gordon.
And just play the episode and you just have to drive like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a perfectly legal speed.
Okay.
That was a bit defensive, wasn't it?
Matt Stewart, perfectly legal.
Yeah.
And finally, Zeke writes, I just don't get why people aren't loving Galatas. Here's another cool fact about Galatas.
How's that spelled?
G-E-L-A-D-A-S. I'm probably saying it wrong, but they are. I don't remember not loving Galatas.
Yeah, have you
good
been,
God.
Have you been saying bad things?
They're the ones
about
that
they are scary with their fangs.
Yeah,
my lord.
There is that weird thing when they open, they look cool until they open their mouth.
Oh, wow.
Their top lip curls right back.
Good God, that's scary. It's like, oh my God, it's like something from a horror film.
But they look real cool when they don't do that.
Right. Okay.
Galatas.
Whoa.
Fascinating looking.
Do you want to hear Zeke's fun fact?
Yes.
All right.
Cool fact, right? he says, so their diets are mostly 90%. grass human. And seeds. Oh,
okay.
With a few bugs in there for good measure. But they possess these huge front canine teeth purely for fighting and establishing dominance. Plus, that mane. It's an amazing mane. Whoa. And there's that also that weird red, just looking at that photo you had up there, that red thing on their chest. What's it? That looks like the inside coming out.
Yeah, it
out.
Almost looks like bare muscle or something.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing looking.
So they're definitely worth, for listeners, definitely worth looking up them if you haven't seen them. Galatas. And also definitely look up the Guinan monkey. Two.
All good.
Equally fascinating looking, but very different.
That's not a monkey, Evan.
No, but this looks like a, like it's been attacked by a Galata, maybe?
Oh, they.
No, I think that's a mutant leopard. Or something.
I see.
Yeah, it's got teeth growing out of its face.
I hate the internet. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Actually, one last thing I should do is I do encourage people to give us a 5-star review, Pete. Hmm. And I say, and I'll try and read as many of the 5-star reviews out, no matter what they say. So I'll read a few out now because we didn't do it last week. This one comes from Something That Is In The Name, and they write...
Hi there, Something That's In The Name.
They wrote, pre-9/11 humor in a post-9/11 world, 5 stars. I'm from Guyana, and I love it when you say Guyana. Now say it 4 times fast. Guyana, 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 Guyana.
Where's Guyana?
Where isn't Guyana?
Sounds like you don't know where it is.
Wait, Evan, I'm offended by Africa? The what you're saying there. You're saying that I don't know where Guyana
That was my suggestion, is? Yes.
That's ridiculous. It's a country in South America.
Right, okay.
Everyone knows that. Somewhere
I didn't know where it was.
To the east, southeast of Venezuela.
Ah.
And everyone knows that.
Well, hello there to everyone listening in
Venezuela.
It's basically
Guyana. Well, Guyana. And well, you know.
And Venezuela, sure.
The broader, you know, the greater Venezuela region.
Yes, everyone in South America.
Thank you very much for that to that person. I shouldn't bother reading out the names because they're always weird. This person writes, 5 stars, an insult to monkey men of the world. The host... I don't care to learn his name, refers to himself as an amateur primatologist. Despite knowing little to nothing about primates, but constantly corrects his guests when they mistakenly refer to apes as monkeys. I have no regrets about that. The concept of this show should have died a merciful death after 2 to 3 episodes, but it has been flogged like the proverbial dead horse. I tried to get my family interested. Even my mama said it was rubbish. Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Wow. This is taking a turn. Ooh. So really, the entire concept of this podcast is a step too fur. The staff should all be gibbon the sack.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what's going on. Oh, that's that kind.
Yeah.
Just grivet arrest. 1 star. Grivet. 5 stars.
Grivet?
Yeah, what's a grivet?
Hopefully it's primate related.
It better be, otherwise.
Could just be a typo.
Oh, no, they're a cool looking old man primate.
So many primates that just look like old men.
It's an African green monkey and savanna monkey. Wow, that's cool. Well, thank you for that. Brutal 5-star review. this one maybe is more positive. I don't read them before I read them.
No, Pete, it doesn't seem like it.
This one's 5 stars, says Chimply the best.
God. Whoa. We didn't solicit
puns. Well, we weren't
puns.
Asking for puns. I said, feel free to not be all positive. Just give us 5 stars and don't make it, I said, don't make it too sickly sweet because it's awkward for me to read out.
Well, the last person with a 5-star review certainly did that.
Anyway, Chimply the best. It's a hot start. 5 stars. Primates Matt and Evan host the most appealing primatological podcast out there. If you're thinking of diving into a fun podcast about primates and popular culture, just don't monkey see it, monkey do it. That's Evan, that's good stuff.
Okay.
Don't just monkey see it, monkey do it. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Chimply the best. That's pretty good.
Yeah, this show might have a new tagline.
Chimply the best. All right, there's 2 more here, and then I'm up to date, I think.
Number 2.
With the utmost honesty. There's not even a pun in that, is there?
The upmost.
Yeah, that's just words.
With the apemost. They've
made me paranoid. I'm looking for puns where there are none.
Did they mean utmost?
I guess so, but we're not here to cast
Look,
aspersions.
They're writing in to say what they want. You asked them for
I said they can
feedback.
Say whatever they want. This is their feedback.
All right, that's fine.
You want it to I'm be not... utmost. I'm with them. Upmost makes more sense.
I mean, it's not the like people up. Are attacking you and criticizing your every word. So, you know.
This is a pod for those in need of something to look forward to. My bowler hat goes off to the host and always wonderful guests. Nothing but thanks for the great laughs while I go about my days. I'll wrap this review up with this notion. Stop, take a listen to this room full of the best primates and enjoy what might be the best spin-off of the century. Woo-hoo, go Saints. Oh, I love that. That came home so strong and it was already doing well. Thank you so much, Spider-Man, I think you call yourself. And then finally,
the number one
says, Makes You Go Bananas is what it's titled. Mm-hmm. 5 stars. Mm-hmm. Love the podcast! ! The guests are awesome and Evan is amazing. Full stop.
That's very nice.
I was going to compliment Matt until I found out that he doesn't have red hair anymore. It's a shame too, because it would have been a great compliment. Thank you so much. That's Barry from the United States of America.
It's strawberry brunette, I would say.
Yeah, it's sort of mousy. Yeah, mousy brown. In the sun, there's red flicks. My beard is nothing but red. As you get older, the great colors in your hair fades. Most people end up with dull brown hair. Don't blame me. If you see an old person of my age or older with fantastic red hair, I'm sorry to blow it, but they're dying it. It's just not possible to keep a natural red flock. Shock.
Right. Well, you heard it here first.
Shock of flock of hair. Shock of hair.
A shocking flock of hair.
Shocking flock. You shock the flock up. I give you the utmost. Anyway.
Flock shockers.
Flock shockers. Everyone should know that we've lost an hour of sleep last night. Daylight savings began today.
Oh, is that why I'm so tired?
Yeah, I didn't realize I was leaving to come here, and I'm like, oh right.
And I was up till like 1:30. Oh man.
Yeah, that's what it is. We lost an hour.
Oh, Evan had already given away most of the hours in the day, and then he loses one.
Also, Evan last night won Best Director at the Antenna Awards.
Hey. Thank you. But you guys also, you know, shared in the winnings of the Best Comedy Program Award.
Yeah, we won the Best Comedy, which is cool.
Yeah, for this show we made, Australia Get It Up Here, a sketch show we made in 2015.
Yes, and this award ceremony was for shows made in the last 5 years.
Yep.
Yeah, and Peter did all the animations for it, which was amazing.
Yeah, did some graphics.
Yeah, graphic illustration stuff, really, really good stuff.
And I never mentioned this, but Evan composed and made the theme song for this show, the Primates theme.
Yeah,
people compliment it all the time, but I don't think they know that the second banana actually made it.
Yeah, and they don't know that it has lyrics.
What are the lyrics?
It's Primates with Matt and various guests.
Wow. Do you have that version out there somewhere?
No, it's never been.
No. You say people don't know it has lyrics. I didn't know it had lyrics.
It doesn't have. I mean, it's never been recorded.
Primates with Matt and various guests. That's how it finishes.
Yeah. Would we see it in the B-side of the single version of the Primates theme song?
Yeah, maybe.
That and the extended dance mix.
We'll have to do one.
You did do a dance mix of the Do Go On theme.
I did, yeah.
Which I've played at a few of the live shows. Good fun. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks so much for joining us, Pete and Evan. Where can people find you both if they wanted to?
You can find me on Instagram at Peter Thomas, PEADERTHOMAS.
You can check out all the fun work you do. You do all of my comedy posters. A lot of the people around here you do the comedy posters for.
Andy
and Al from Two in the Think Tank.
I'm also working on some stuff right now for your other podcast.
Oh, yeah, you've done our current Globe t-shirt design on Do Go On was yours.
Yep, and there are some other ones coming soon.
I'm excited. And I want to talk to you about my first Primates t-shirt design, wow. If you're up for it. No pressure, on air.
I'm great.
I need you to say yes now.
I'd love to, Matt.
So I'll put a link to that and as well as your website for people to check that out. And Evan, Gaming, this week we talk about What the Golf?
Yeah. Yeah, so Matt's on the show this week, and what else do we talk about? The Surge 2.
Yeah.
It's a fun game.
Research 2?
The Surge.
Oh, The Surge 2.
And we talk a lot about how a McDonald's computer is used for Doom.
Yeah.
I don't know how we talked about it for 20 minutes, but we did.
I'll be editing that down.
You said that the raw footage goes for an hour and 45?
Yeah.
Are you going to cut it in half?
But that's because we stopped to eat for like 15, 20
minutes.
And
the cameras were rolling.
Are still rolling, and there's just us eating burritos at the desk on camera. I'll be editing that out. You'll never know that it happened.
Well, yeah, this is why you listen to Basic Primates is sort of the gaming game after hours.
Yeah.
It's talking gaming.
But if you want to see us immediately before and after eating burritos, go to our YouTube channel.
There won't be any sort of burritos left on the desk somewhere, like a Game of Thrones.
I think there might be like a
editing mishap.
There might be like a napkin left on the desk.
So look out for that one.
Look out, you can just spot the edit.
And yeah, I'll have links to Gaming, Pete's website, and all the Primates links will be in the description as well as the Patreon link, patreon.com/dogoonpod, and also my social medias as well. Now, Pete, we always finish with a classic primate-related sign-off. We say the same one every week. But I will say thank you so much for joining us, Evan. Thank you so much for joining us, Peter. And as we always say here on Primates Podcast...
Oh, my stars and garters.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.